T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90. John, the game on this hump day Wednesday. Going to be a big show ahead as we get toward the 7 o'clock hour this morning at 9 a.m. in 2 hours. If you're driving around town and listening to the program, or if you're going to be back in your car, Hawks owner Tony Ressler will join us live, and we'll talk about the NBA draft ahead and his plans for this franchise. And my big question to him is, what is his personal timeline on getting the Hawks into the discussion of winning the East again? And possibly winning an NBA championship in town, because I know that that's his goal, and he wants to win an NBA world title here. He's not here to play. So that's one thing that we do have here with Tony Ressler and Arthur Blank, are owners that are committed to winning right now. Liberty, I know. I mean, we'll see what they do. I mean, and obviously they are winning, and we'll see what they do. But certainly interesting with Tony Ressler coming up, and that'll be ahead of the NBA draft tomorrow night, live with Mike Conley and Andy Bunker in a live show as they are from State Farm Arena to kind of recap what's going on in the draft from 7 to 10 tomorrow night. We are also talking, of course, about the Braves as they finish up a series tonight against the Mets with Max Fried on the mound before they hit the road, and currently 2.5 games up in first place in the NL East. But through all of that, we are counting down to getting going here with football. It's 66 days to college football. And there's an issue here, Hugh, with this transfer portal has become a problem on top of a problem on top of a problem. The latest was yesterday when a quarterback named Cam Rising, okay, great name, superstar high school quarterback, recruited heavily by Texas, decides he wants to transfer because he loses the job out to the Texas job, and he's not, because Sam Ellinger's got a lock on the job, and he wants to go play quarterback somewhere, so he transfers to Utah.
The Utes.
Okay. And they deny him the immediate eligibility. They said no. Like they did with Luke Ford at Illinois, the tight end, the former Georgia tight end.
And the reason was?
Who the hell knows?
Yeah, that's the thing, Portal. You look at some of these guys that have transferred to different schools, and they've gotten, you know, the green light, and then you see other guys that didn't. I think two things are going on right here. I think one is – it's the school that you're transferring from and the school you're transferring to, number one. And I think that they've gotten so much heat for allowing so many different guys to transfer that now they're trying to rein it in and regulate it a little bit. It's a little bit too late for that.
Yeah, and besides, I just don't think you can deny.
And I think it also, John, has become one of those things where we've talked a lot in this last year about the transfer portal. We've talked a lot about young men deciding to leave for whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, they're trying to pull it back a little bit.
And in my world, I wish somebody would take the NCAA to court. You can't deny somebody the right to transfer and play immediately.
Well, they obviously can because they've been doing it.
I mean, but this has got to stop. I mean, if you transfer and you want to play, you want to transfer from Georgia to Alabama or from Alabama to TCU or from TCU to Northwestern State. I don't care where you want to go. You should be – well, Northwestern State, bad example, because you can go there and play because it's 1AA. But – yeah, I just don't think that there should be any way to stop you from being able to play immediately. Why? You're a student. Every other student can do it. I mean, athletes shouldn't be singled out. Anyway, there are 200, according to Abe, counted it up, Hugh. There are 211 players across all positions that are still sitting out there in the transfer portal.
They're trying to make decisions.
Right.
I'm telling you, this thing caught fire, John. I think it was one of those things where they really didn't expect it to catch on like it did or expect kids to try to make the moves like they've been making, and it's become a problem for them. And now, you know, it's not going to be challenged until somebody big challenges it or somebody big calls it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're talking about the guys that have benefited from it right now. nobody's going to call it out because they're benefiting from it. So that's the issue right now with the transfer portal.
Yeah, so 211 players are still sitting out there, including Kervonte Benson and Jalen Jackson from Georgia Tech, seeing if they can find another school to go play for, at least one they would like to go play for. I'm sure they can play for a lot of them. 39 quarterbacks so far have transferred. 39 quarterbacks have transferred this year. 39. Now, listen to this list, Hugh, because I know you know these guys, right? Listen to the top of the list. How many players have swapped teams? Justin Fields, right? Mm-hmm. Georgia to Ohio State. Jalen Hurts, Alabama to Oklahoma. Kelly Bryant, Clemson to Missouri. Tate Martell, Ohio State to Miami. Austin Kendall, who, by the way, was going to be the starting quarterback at Oklahoma last year when Kyler Murray beat him out. Austin Kendall, Oklahoma to West Virginia. Brandon Wimbush, former starter at Notre Dame, is now at UCF. Shane Buechele, former starter at Texas, is now at SMU. Josh Jackson, starter at Virginia Tech, is now at Maryland. Nick Starkel, A&M's bright young, he's now at Arkansas. And Alex Hornibrook, who was the starter at Wisconsin, is now at Florida State, the left-hander from Wisconsin. And that's just the short list of quarterbacks of 39, and we're just focusing on one position, Hugh, 39 quarterbacks that have transferred.
Yeah. And it's those quarterbacks, John, you look at those names that are still waiting. I mean, they're known names, but I would ask you, what started, like a five-star recruit, four-star recruit, and are they guys that really are moving the meter for the schools that they're going to?
When you're talking to Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, Kelly Bryant, Austin,
those guys have been allowed to go play for the school that they're playing
all
for.
But Cam Rising.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, why does Cam Rising not get to play? Everybody else.
And if I'm Cam, I need that question to be answered for me. That's the thing. He has to be the one in order to find out what's going on with this transfer portal and why it seems like certain players are getting, you know, special treatment and he's not. I would have to ask that question.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I really would.
Hunter Johnson's at Northwestern. They're not stopping him, the former Clemson quarterback. Coach Hughes in Marietta. Coach Hughes on with John and you. Hey, Coach Hughes.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good. I just wanted to talk about this transfer portal situation. Not only is it going on in the NCAA, which is horrible, but it's going on right here in the state of Georgia with the GHSA. So, you know, these young men and women are getting completely screwed over by these organizations. Coaches are able to leave the school and go and coach at another school the next year and receive their compensation. So I just would like you gentlemen to, you know, expound on that.
Well, but isn't high school, high school's a little bit different in that.
It may be different in the fact that young men or women transfer to different areas to play, but it's still their life. And if these young people are able to get to whatever school that they are able to get to, then, you know, they should be able to attend that school. And for some schools to have transfers that are able to play immediately, i.e. McEachern, a young man leaves a school and Pebblebrook and goes to McEachern and is immediately able to play. And then another kid leaves a high school in Marietta, Hillgrove, and goes to a private school, Mount Perrin, and is denied to play. And that's my son. And so I just wanted to voice my pissed offness about the whole, you know, transfer situation.
Yeah,
so,
no, I appreciate that, Coach Hill.
Yeah. And y'all have a great day.
And thank you. I don't know what the high school rules are.
But it's crazy, man, because even it starts in high school.
Right.
I mean, it really does. When you get, you know, certain players or certain schools that are allowed to get certain players that are going to help their program prosper. And then other guys are not allowed to, you know, transfer. It's a weird thing, man. But this has been going on for a long time, especially when you talk about at the high school level, when you have certain kids that are transferring or getting addresses in certain districts so that they can strengthen the football program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things that if you're going to do that, they need to figure out a better way of making it level, because sometimes with certain kids, it does feel kind of personal. It really, really does. Especially if you have people in positions of power that or maybe are affiliated with one school or another, or have somebody down the line that's affiliated that it feels like that's why you're being blocked.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a whole lot of rabbit hole situation going on,
right.
But it does feel like they need to figure out a way to make it even across the board, yeah, when it comes to that.
I think there are different situations, you know, and we could sit here and talk about, you know, high schools and the issues they have and how some schools are able to, you know, have, you know, big dollar donors who can afford to give dad a job, and suddenly dad moves into your district. I mean, so, but that's a different issue than, to me, what college is, which is that there should be no block on players being able to transfer and
but
play immediately.
But it's the same thing.
None.
In college, though, I think, because you're talking about football programs, for the most part, John, that are bringing their schools that they go to a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you hear, you know, when you talk about Tate Martell leaving Ohio State,
right,
going to Miami,
mm-hmm,
and there's no backlash from that. You talk about Justin Fields starting that by going from Georgia to Ohio State. All three of those programs are in the Power Five. You know
right.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like if you're in that conference, it feels like it's easier to move there because of the money that's involved with all three of those schools. And then on top of that, the marquee position, which you're given basically the green light to play.
Yeah, I think they need to clean this thing up. We're talking about the transfer portal still has 211 players still in it, including, and Abe did the numbers, 7 quarterbacks that are still looking, 7 quarterbacks, 15 running backs, 30 wide receivers in terms of that's just part of the 211 that have not found new schools to play at. And we're already into mid-June, so they're going to have to make decisions soon if they're going to jump into a program and be part of they probably should have done it for spring practice, but they didn't. A couple of the quarterbacks still out there. Brandon Peters, who was going to be a star. He was a 4-star recruit by Michigan. And Kasim Hill of Maryland, because he's gone now with Mike Locksley being the new head coach. And I saw Kasim Hill play a little bit last year. He could play. And so those are schools that are players that are looking for new schools. But, yeah, it's going to be – it's so hard now because players are transferring at such a high rate and high volume rate because – and they're doing it for two reasons. Well, they're doing it for a lot of reasons. But in most cases, what they're doing it for is playing time. You know, I mean, quarterbacks especially. You know, they get stuck behind – Justin Fields was stuck behind Jake Fromm. I know a lot of people that want to say that Justin had other reasons for transferring, but really, let's get down to it, okay? He wants to play.
It felt like – that this got kind of ramped up after the LSU game because there were thoughts that, you know, Justin probably should have played a little bit more. I was of the mindset, you know, being here on the radio station, I thought it was more so because of the fact that he wasn't prepared to play. And what I mean by that wasn't prepared to play, like, you know, he wasn't in the game plan or
mm-hmm.
he wasn't up to speed,
mm-hmm.
so or, you know, with what they were trying to do. A lot of people felt like that was not the case. Felt like it was a little bit of favoritism going there for Jake Fromm in that situation. So that's one of the reasons why he left. And then, you know, with the thing that happened with the baseball player at the game, that was the reason why they said that he
But if he was the starting quarterback at Georgia, I think maybe that – I just think he might have
stayed. He would have gone ahead and let that one ride.
Yeah, that's what I think. But I may be wrong, but that's what I think. All right, so Kelly Bryant has a starting job at Clemson, plays in a national title game as a starting quarterback, loses his job to Trevor Lawrence. Why is he at Missouri? Because he wasn't going to play at Clemson, right? I mean, it's about playing time. Tate Martell calls out Justin Fields openly on Twitter twice.
Don't come to my hood. You come to my hood, you're gonna get that work.
Yep.
And he does came it to his
twice.
Hood and he left.
And Justin goes up there. Tate Martell turns tail and runs.
Just came to his hood and he left. I wanted to go to Miami anyway. It's fun. It's most fun in the sun.
Jalen Hurts has a magical moment. Jalen Hurts is my favorite player in college football, and I don't even like Alabama, okay? And the reason he's my favorite player in college football is because he's so classy. I mean, he loses his job the way he lost his job to Tua and manages to – doesn't immediately transfer, hangs around, and then – and I know Georgia fans is a bad memory, but then has that kind of magical moment that he had. That's pretty cool.
I hear what you're saying, but he had his moment where there was some talk about him leaving Alabama. And because I remember Alabama State was in the Alabama State was trying to get in the conversation about bringing him there. But I think that cooler heads prevailed because you got to think, John, when you're a young man and you've been the man and you have everything given to you as early as he had given to him, that's a tough pill to swallow to lose your job like that. So he went through a phase where he wanted to leave school. And I know that his dad was upset about, you know, the position that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it the right way. He got his education, and he realized that that's the most important thing that you can get out of this whole situation. Now he gets another chance to play. He goes out there as a grad student, and he can play for Oklahoma. And you got your degree, and you can also get a chance to go to the next level.
Well,
if there was a way to do it, that's the way to do it.
Right.
So, you know, He was a guy that got a chance to play his freshman year, won a couple championships, and he got his degree.
Right.
So that, I mean,
listen. And now he goes to a school that's only produced back-to-back Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks.
Yeah, and put himself in a position where, you know, he can learn and become a better quarterback. And hopefully, you know, for him, he'll get his name called next March.
Jason and Dakula. Hey, Jason, welcome to the show.
Next up. Well, that's how you doing, guys?
Hey, game.
Good morning.
Hey, I think you just asked my question. It was the Martell Fields thing, how Martell was offering, you know, Fields to come up and say, hey, let's go compete. And then when Fields comes in, Martell's like, uh-oh. You know, and I think that's a sign of weakness, you know. I mean, as far as across the board, if a quarterback commits to a school and he gets there and he realizes he can't be the guy out, then I think there ought to be some kind of rule that says, I mean, hey, if you can't beat this guy out, you're not eligible for transfer because you can't commit to the team.
That's
not going to happen.
And then not only that, John, you're talking about when you think about the way that young kids are built nowadays, this is kind of par for the course. This is nobody wants to work hard for what they really, really want. That's my take on it. And I'm pretty sure it's a lot of parents that feel the same way when you're dealing with kids. Nobody wants to work hard for what they want to get in life. They want everything given to them.
What do all these quarterbacks we just listed who transferred have in common? They all lost their starting jobs. Okay? That's that simple. And if they want to go try and find someplace else to start, okay, that's fine by me. Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Right now at CBS Sports Minute.
It's a more player-friendly kind of atmosphere. The coaches, which is different to me, the coaches kind of call you week to week or day by day to just check up on you, see how you're doing, how you're kind of getting used to things and stuff like that. So I've kind of enjoyed talking to the coaches, just not really all about football, just kind of just about life pretty much.
Well, the star from Harrison High in Kennesaw calling on Georgia a little bit by saying he thinks it's a more player-friendly environment up in Columbus, Ohio than it is in Athens, Georgia. That was Justin Fields talking about his days as the Buckeye quarterback. Wouldn't it be something if Georgia and Ohio State met in the playoff this year?
That'd be interesting.
That'd be very interesting, wouldn't it? And that's not far-fetched that could actually happen this season, a Georgia-Ohio State showdown. 66 days ahead of the start of college football, John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. AP Top 25 will come out first week in August. So, I don't know, in about a little over 6 weeks, AP Top 25 will come out. And we know what it's going to say. Alabama.
Yeah, what, Georgia 3, yeah, Alabama 1, or Clemson 1, Alabama 2.
I think it'll be Alabama 1. And that's it doesn't matter any, but nah. Only because Clemson lost so much on the defensive line. But it doesn't mean anything. Alabama 1, Clemson 1, Georgia 3. And then it'll be kind of interesting who's there afterwards. And one of the things that might be there afterwards is Oklahoma could be right in that mix with
Oklahoma,
Ohio State.
Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma and Ohio State have something in common. They have transfer starting quarterbacks, big-name transfer starting quarterbacks, Justin Fields at Ohio State. And Oklahoma, of course, has Jalen Hurts. And can Jalen Hurts, you know, kind of up his throwing game to the point where passing game to the point where he becomes the third straight Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at Oklahoma? Keep this in mind. You're going, now that can't happen. You know, well, you know, there weren't many people thinking Kyler Murray was going to win before last year. There weren't.
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility, but I think Jake Fromm's going to be in that mix. I think the crop of young quarterbacks that are going to be up for the Heisman are probably going to be a lot better. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, dispersed a little bit. So that might not be the case. But he's going to make his run for his money. I want to see how he develops as a passer. We knew that there was sometimes in this game that was what was limited. And sometimes he had to compensate, you know, his feet would compensate for that. So we're going to see how he adapts to that.
Well, he's certainly going to, right now, one of the hottest gurus in the country in Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, that's the guy. And that's probably one of the main reasons why I went there, to see if he could fix him.
Right, because
not like he's broken, but, you know, just to improve his game,
yeah. to be able to get drafted. And, look, we understand that, you know, this quarterback class in this Heisman race, Tua and Trevor and Fromm, I mean, it is really something special. But with all these quarterbacks transferring in the transfer portal, and that's what we're talking about with John and you, Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, Tate Martell going from Ohio State to Miami, Kelly Bryan from Clemson to Missouri, Austin Kendall, these are all high school stars that were either superstars, 4 or 5-star quarterbacks coming out of high school who were going to be superstar quarterbacks at their school who just got beat out, or guys that just were already at their school who got beat out, like Kelly Bryant. Austin Kendall to West Virginia will put up huge numbers. Brandon Wimbush was a starter at Notre Dame. He's down at Central Florida. Shane Buechel was a starter at Texas. He's now at SMU. Josh Jackson was a starter and a star at Virginia Tech. He's now at Maryland. Nick Starkel was going to be a big quarterback at A&M. He goes to Chad Morris at Arkansas. Good luck with that. Alex Hornibrook, who was the starting quarterback at Wisconsin, who goes down to Florida State. And that'll be kind of an interesting one because Hornibrook is not exactly the most fleet-of-foot guy. He's a good, solid quarterback, but he's not a light-you-up quarterback. He's the kind of quarterback that fit in Wisconsin with the running game that they had. So he's a little bit of a different style quarterback for Florida State and Willie Taggart because he's not really all that mobile. I mean, he's a little bit, but he's not the big running Jameis Winston, you know, the kind of quarterback you expect out of Florida State, DeAndre Francois.
That might be a problem.
He's more of a pocket passer.
In that conference and ACC, because, you know, you got a lot of fast defensive linemen. And when you look at the evolution of the quarterback position, I mean, you have to be mobile. You have to – that pocket passer sitting back there, man, you know, he's going to get killed.
Yeah, so
he's going to get killed.
Interesting this year because the transfer portal, and this is what we started with, the concept that 211 players are still in the portal, including a couple of former Georgia Tech stars in Jalen Jackson and Kervante Benson. 211. And by the way, that number actually went up by one yesterday because somebody else entered the portal yesterday. So it might be 212. I mean, they're still entering the portal here in this summer. And we're not done shaking this out yet because they could still enter the portal, you know, go ahead and get in the portal. And how much is this going to reshape and change college football this year? When we talk about Hugh, new starting quarterbacks that have transferred in to Ohio State, to Oklahoma, to Miami, I mean, we're talking about West Virginia. We're talking about teams that are – these aren't Florida State. We're not talking about small schools or backups or whatnot.
No, we're talking about schools that, you know, move the meter as far as our college football fandom goes, and schools that, when you think about it, John, that were in one way or another in need for a quarterback. And that's why I look at it and think it's a little fishy because you were talking earlier about the young quarterback that was trying to transfer to Utah.
Mm-hmm, Cam Rising.
And they blocked that. And I'm thinking maybe that's because they have a young quarterback there that I'm somewhat familiar with in Jason Shelley that is, you know, is up and coming. Mobile quarterback, strong arm, played a lot last year towards the end of the season for them, and now is going to be potentially – he's going to be their starting quarterback. It's just kind of fishy. When you look at these schools that have basically green-lighted the quarterbacks to play, the ones that needed a quarterback were the ones that really, really, really – got what they wanted almost immediately.
Yeah, you have to explain the transfer portal to me that allows, you know, Tate Martell to transfer from Ohio State to Miami and be able to play immediately, but does not allow Luke Ford, the tight end from Georgia, to go to Illinois and play. I mean, there is nothing here. I think Luke Ford ought to sue, and I think he ought to be granted an injunction by a judge, which I would grant him an immediate injunction to allow him to play.
And I wonder how much influence did the school actually have over the player having the pull to get there. That would be something that I would definitely look at because it seemed like almost immediately when Justin Fields went into the portal for Ohio State, he was granted what he wanted. And Tate Martell as well when he decided to go to Miami. And again, like I said, there are two schools that we're talking about that needed quarterbacks, like in the worst way. They wanted competition because they thought Tate Martell was going to stay at Ohio State. He decided to leave in Miami. You know, they've been trying to figure out that quarterback spot for a couple seasons now.
Yeah, for a long time, right? I mean, they, you know, tried the Malik Rozier's of the world. The Rev's down in McDonough. He joins John and Hugh. What up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to piggyback a little bit on what Hugh was saying as far as the transfer portal. Man, that's been going on as far as high school. It's been going on since I know of, at least in the 80s. So it's been going on a while. The problem is the volume of it has changed so much to where there's so many doing it now. It's become a normal thing. And as far as Justin Fields, also, Hugh, what you were saying, I think as far as talent-wise, yeah, he's there. He's got the talent, but he couldn't beat Prom because he can't read defenses. So... you know, that may be something comes, you know, obviously that comes with playing time, but, you know, that's why he didn't beat Prom out.
Yeah, you know, that's not the first time I've heard that. And that's why, you know, when I said maybe he wasn't prepared, maybe, you know, Coach Smart felt like, you know, that wasn't a great situation for him to be in. And sometimes, you know, I hear people talk about, well, you should have saw the way that he threw. I'm not arguing his arm strength. I'm not arguing any of that. But you have to be able to decipher where the holes are in the defense in order to get out there as a quarterback. Now, there are certain situations where, you know, your overall athleticism can compensate for all of that. But when you're talking about going out there and trying to lead a team and do it, I'm not going to say the right way, but do it in the way that the system, you know, is set up. Your athletic ability at that position, I think, should be the last resort. And you know, because it's always, when you think about the NFL at any level, John, teams that have the most success over a long period of time, they beat you from the pocket. And so it's better, like, to have, it's always great to have that ace in the hole, to have that athleticism in the legs to get you out of tight spots. But you have to be able to throw from the pocket and beat teams from the pocket to be, you know, be able to sustain that longevity.
Make no mistake, Justin Fields, if he starts at Ohio State, and certainly everything indicates that he will, is going to put up gigantic numbers in his first month in the first four games at Ohio State. If he starts, he's going to throw 20 touchdowns and run for another. I mean, he's going to put up gigantic, because they start the season this way: Florida Atlantic, Cincinnati, Indiana, Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, give him a chance to get acclimated.
He's gonna have a chance to put up huge numbers at Ohio State. The transfer portal this year, you know, the debate over it, and which I just think it's ridiculous that they I'm still stuck on this Luke Ford thing. I just think it's just beyond the pale that the NCAA blocked him is ridiculous to on 100 levels, is going to affect the NCAA championship. We are now seeing the effect of it. You're right, Hugh. This is what is so important about this when we're talking about college football, is that nobody expected this many big – and we're talking about 10 starting quarterbacks at major schools who've had great success at some levels. I take them to the national championship. They're transferring. They're leaving and taking their talent somewhere else. Well, it's going to make it a wild year. Hey, we'll update you on what happened with Atlanta United last night in a game that most of you did not see and none of you heard. Just saying. Yeah, we're still a little bit bitter about that. We wanted to bring it to you. They wouldn't let us. That's next on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Going to be a busy show ahead. About an hour and 20 minutes from now, a little less, Hawks owner Tony Ressler is going to join us live. We're going to talk NBA draft and the future of the Atlanta Hawks with the owner of the team, which should be a lot of fun for us. Get a chance here on the eve of the NBA draft. And, of course, our coverage begins, it's always ongoing on 92 The Game, but our actual live draft coverage begins at 7 o'clock tomorrow night with Mike Conley and Andy Bunker live at State Farm Arena.
Sergeant Bunker. Yeah.
What was it? Sergeant Studenko, never mind. Just an old, yeah, something just, a, yeah. Had an old Cheech and Chong moment, never mind. The Five Stripes won last night. They beat Columbus 3-2. And even though Joseph is playing for Venezuela, he only played about 5 minutes last night in Venezuela's Copa game. He came out as a sub in the 85th minute. And Tito is down with his country, and, you know, you're missing a few players here. For the most part, that was a pretty solid lineup that Atlanta United put on the field, and it did, and it rained again in Columbus last night, and it poured like it did earlier in the year. I don't know why it was whatever, but at least we won the game 3-2 in the U.S.
That's the only thing that mattered. You get a chance to advance, keep the hope alive, keep the dream alive.
And Brandon Vasquez is making a name for himself in this U.S. Open Cup. He scored twice again last night as the striker on the team, and the team. And this was not, you know, Atlanta United 2 or anything. This was. Barco's back with the club. Barco started last night. Nagby started last night. I mean, it was Guzan started last night. Matter of fact, Brad Guzan's going to join us in about an hour. I mean, they sent out pretty much the first line for this game last night against the Columbus Crew and ended up winning 3-2. They will now advance in the U.S. Open Cup to a game on July the 10th at Kennesaw State against the winner of tonight's game between FC Cincinnati and a USL team called St. Louis FC. All right? But that'll be July the 10th. The next game for Atlanta United will be back into MLS play a week from tonight when they go to Toronto to take on Toronto FC. And that'll be really interesting. But it was good to see kind of like, you know, Barco back with the club. That's good. And Vasquez is turning into a scoring machine suddenly.
Yeah, people getting healthy. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And now guys that You're getting more contributions. You're getting more acclimated to playing with one another. And you're building depth at the same time. That's the biggest thing that I got from that, John, is the fact that, you know, you have all these other guys that are starting to contribute now. You're building depth with this team. And that's something that you saw early in the year that wasn't really clicking. Now you see it. And I would think that, you know, going into the second half of the season, that you'll be a little bit more comfortable with the rotations and everything that was trying to get implemented when Coach Boris got here.
Well, one of the things true about Barco, he had an assist on a Miles Robinson goal last night. And Barco was asked after the game about, you know, all the interest level that's in him. And he said, look, this is why I have an agent. But he's committed to playing for Atlanta United the remainder of the year. Darren Eales reiterated on Dukes and Bell last night. I heard him saying that, no, Barco's going to be on the team through the remainder of the season. And, yes, we understand that it's going to be like Miggy. Barco's going to get a lot of looks from a lot of big teams, and there's going to be an awful lot of money thrown at him. And that, you know what, that's just life right now in Major League Soccer. We have to get used to it. And so, but we want Barco to score a ton of goals in the interim for us before he heads off to whatever pastures he goes to.
Greener pastures.
Yeah, well, in a lot of ways, you know what I mean?
You're going to get a lot of bread. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was talking about, a lot of bread.
Greener pastures. So, but good to have Barco back. But again, he says he's committed to United for the remainder of the year. And so this is a good thing for everybody involved. And Barco's going to get his money, and Atlanta United is going to get paid. So we'll worry about that after the season's over. We got things to do first, like win the U.S. Open Cup. Heck, we're in the thing. We might as well win it, you know? I mean, might as well win this U.S. Open Cup. And then I really want to win the MLS Cup. That's going to be my big thing. But this U.S. Open Cup, this is what the pressure it's going to put on you, Hugh. They come back on the 26th of June to play Toronto, okay? Then they play the following Saturday against Montreal. Then on Wednesday, July the 3rd, they play the Chicago Fire in Chicago. Right? Wednesday, July 3rd, day before the 4th of July. On Sunday the 7th, they play the Red Bulls. On the 10th, they play the U.S. Open Cup. And on the 14th, they play the Sounders. So suddenly you could see where, you know, all these games get mushed together.
It's kind of been like that for them. This is not something new. This is something that they've had to deal with. It's tough. You know, talking to Mike Conte a couple weeks ago, he talked about, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this is great for Atlanta United being the darling of MLS right now. And this is the gauntlet that you have to run. And maybe one day it will change, but soccer really hasn't gotten that footing. It has here in Atlanta, but it really hasn't gotten that footing, you know, nationally like you really want it to have. So this is what you have to do, you know, in being the darling. You have to be available to play as much as you possibly can and put yourself out there for the people who can see you.
With that new compressed MLS schedule and now this U.S. Open Cup, between June 26th, the week from tonight, when they get back to play Toronto FC, and the 14th of July, when they're playing Seattle, six games in 18 days.
Yeah, it's been like that, and that's what it is, because you're the team that everybody wants to see. You're the one that's out there in the forefront. And, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. I did just hit him with a superhero analogy. I did do that this morning on the show. But, Uncle Ben from Spider-Man. Yeah, but that's what it is. And when talking to Mike Conte and when he put it in that perspective, I understand it a lot better. Because it's like, this is what you have to do. Until it changes, John, until you get that footing, this is what Atlanta United is going to have to do. You're talking about a young team, third season, MLS Cup. On the road to try to get another one. You know, everybody wants to see them. And that gem of a stadium and you know, Mercedes-Benz, that's packed out all the time. I mean, you want that to – that plays well on TV. I mean, it does. And it's unfortunate for us that, you know, we had to adjust to so much stuff in such a short period of time, but it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah, Teddy Welsh is saying, explain to me why we have to play at Kennesaw. You know, Teddy, I think they're just playing there.
The first one was because in Charlotte the game was canceled. Well, the field was not.
Charleston?
Yeah, Charleston. What'd I say, Charlotte? Charleston. The field was not, you know, worthy, so they had to do that. And I don't know about the second time.
They were playing on the road at Columbus. Yeah. I think he's just asking why they're playing in Kennesaw.
Yeah, because they had to move.
Mercedes-Benz. I don't know why they're not playing at Mercedes-Benz. They're playing at Kennesaw. I don't know. Maybe it's because they got, you know, so many games. Maybe there's another event at Mercedes-Benz. I'd have to go look at the MBS schedule. I have no idea. I can't answer your question. But they're playing at Kennesaw nonetheless in the Gold Cup. Or, you know, you're asking a lot from your fans. I mean, every game is sold out, right, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Yeah, they do really well for themselves.
But when you're starting to add even more games, you know, you're asking a lot from your fans to kick out an awful lot of money to go to an awful lot of games. But then, wow. You know.
I mean, that's funny that you would bring it up. I don't see the fans complaining. I mean, I don't. I think that they enjoy the product that they're putting out there on the field. Listen, if you're winning, you don't mind. Like, if your team is winning, you don't mind spending money. That's you're gonna pay. You're gonna do that to pay for a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different ball game when you're not winning.
Well, I will say this: the good news about that July 10th game at Kennesaw is that they will allow fans to go, and we will still not be able to broadcast it. Just so that you know, we cannot broadcast any U.S. Open Cup game. They're not allowing. We are blocked from putting them on the radio. All right, that's why. Because people keep asking me, why was the Columbus game not on the radio? We want to, but we're not allowed to. All right. So we'll be back on with MLS play with Mike and Jason a week from tonight when they take on Toronto FC. And just so that we're all clear here, we want to, but they won't let us. All right. That simple. It'll be interesting, guys. I mean, the U.S. Open Cup thing, I don't really care that much about it. I know Atlanta United does. I've kind of reiterated that. I understand what they're trying to do with the club. Right now, I'm just still locked in on the idea of trying to defend the MLS Cup, which, again, 6 games in 18 days. I'm starting to think, because that game falls between Red Bulls and a home game against Red Bulls, right, and a game on the road at Seattle against the Sounders, where you got to go clean across the country, 3,000 miles. I'm thinking that game on the 10th, you're going to see a lot of Andrew Carltons and Romario Williams and
That's why it's important to try to get as many people, as many reps as you possibly can so that, you know, at some point, John, there won't be a fall off or that much of a fall off. You can put any lineup out there when you need the rest guys and spell guys that you feel comfortable with that can contend at a high level.
Brad Guzan, by the way, will join us in about an hour. We'll ask him about all this and the busy schedule coming up for Atlanta United. When we get back in a moment, the Braves finish off what could be a stellar homestand if they can win tonight against the New York Mets. And last night, we'll let it go. As we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game and 92 on the game.com.
Yeah, no, he'll bounce back. I mean, that's kind of why I didn't want him to go any farther. I figured, you know, where it was, and we'll just cut the losses now and not burn him up anymore. So that's what I told him. Just, you know, get ready and do it again in 5 days, 6 days.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.